singing songs about how happy my life is on the Volga River. Penza. And there was a festival, and they had kvass, and this girl, teenage girl, was dressed in traditional Russian dress and singing these songs like Jamuna, saying, "How happy I am, my life was living on the Volga River." And it was like Vrindavan, the mood. Are you okay?
Almost. Oh. And now 30 seconds?
If you can knock out an Australian, then the stuff has some kick. We know that Mahaprabhu, when he's Nimai Pandit, sometimes he is taking the mood of Nityananda Prabhu and sitting as though he's Balaram and telling him, "Give me your plow," because Balaram's weapon is the plow. Well, not weapon, he carries the plow, he can use it that way. And what are the two things? Oh, the club and the plow. So Mahaprabhu takes the paraphernalia of Nityananda, and they're very happy to see that. And and at one point he says, "Give me wine." He's supposed to be in the bhav of Balaram. "Give me wine." And the devotees are thinking, what should we do? Because Balaram's famous for drinking the Varuni beverage, some intoxicating type beverage. We hear from Rupa Goswami and his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that once Baladev, in such a mood of intoxication, he told the Jamuna River, "Come here." And she was afraid to approach him while he was intoxicated. So she's shrinking away, and with his plow, Baladev started dragging the earth closer to, and Jamuna was coming forcefully that way. And Rupa Goswami offers some prayer like, "We pray that Baladev will be pleased with us when he's in this particular mood." Said, because he says, "I could, in my mood right now, my happiness is such, I could destroy all the universes and everyone in it, and Krishna wouldn't be angry. He'd be happy with me. Because if Baladev did decide to do something like that, then everybody immediately becomes liberated." See, not that I will, but I could. So when Mahaprabhu starts saying, "Give me wine," devotees are thinking what to do. They take some Ganga Jal, river from the Ganges, and they give that to Mahaprabhu, and that he's drinking and exhibiting his divine intoxicated mood. He's okay? Just playing. Nityananda Prabhu, he's playing as a child. Like right now as we speak, Srila Abhidhut Maharaj and Srila Acharya Maharaj, they're in Eka Chakra, which is the birthplace of Nityananda Prabhu. It's also the birthplace of the Chaitanya Saraswat Math, in one sense, because that's where Srila Guru Maharaj prostrated before the, what do they call it? The Banha Garhi, the place of birth, the house of birth. Something like Banha Garhi Griha, something. Gopal. What is it called? Means house, birth house. Banha Garbi, Garbha Bari. Is it Garbha Bari?
Garbha.
Garbha Bari.
Yeah.
Right. That's what
Garbhastan.
Garbhastan. You know, I'm thinking of Guru Maharaj's sloka. But so that's where Guru Maharaj lie prostrate, saying to Nityananda Prabhu, "You are the Dhammeshvara," means like the governor of Navadvipa, the person who decides whether you get a visa or not. Many times Guru Maharaj would say, passport is insufficient. Right? It's good to have a passport. We all know that. Everybody here knows that. We don't even have our Thai ambassador this evening, Krishna Priya Devi. She's here with us in spirit. But so to get here, you have to be given a visa, which means someone has to decide that it's in the interest of the land that you're trying to enter for you to come. You've already expressed your interest. That is well and good. But the representative of that land needs to say, yes, we believe it's in the interest of our plane to give you a visa to enter. It's all right. So Guru Maharaj, his thinking is always very fine and perfect before he moves or does anything. So he's thinking to spend his final days in Navadvip Dham because it's been said that Vrindavan is for the highest section of liberated souls. Only they can be given admission there. So humbly, Guru Maharaj thought, but we're told the non-liberated, they'll find their fortune in Navadvip. So humbly, he approached Navadvip, but before going to Navadvip, this is again that refined thinking. He thinks, Nityananda Prabhu is the Dhammeshwar. I must first get his permission. So he goes to Ekachakra, and up to that time, we should also say that Srila Guru Maharaj was hesitating to accept any disciples. Like Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima Bhavatarini, she wanted connection with Guru Maharaj. She had first initiation from Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur and wanted to take second initiation from Guru Maharaj. But Guru Maharaj is humbly declining, and sent her to a Prakrita Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. So Guru Maharaj was not initiating anyone up to that point, even though people were asking. So he went before Nityananda Prabhu and prayed, "You are Patita Pavana." That means the savior of the fallen, the savior of the most fallen. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, Nityananda Prabhu's mercy has the greatest disinfecting potency. Like sometimes we need to disinfect something to clean some area. Saying Nityananda Prabhu, this is the extreme disinfectant for the impure heart, the sinful, as we find in the pastimes of Jagai and Madhai, the two leading, you know, sinners of the day were saved by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu. So anyway, Guru Maharaj is lying there saying, "You are Patita Pavana, please give me shelter in Navadvipa." And Guru Maharaj said, he in his heart, he was filled with this inspiration from Nityananda Prabhu, hearing Nityananda saying, "But you do not, you are hesitating to give shelter to the fallen," because he wouldn't initiate. They said, "If you will give shelter to the fallen, then I'll give you shelter there." So that and a few other things in Guru Maharaj's mind convinced him that he would proceed to which part of Navadvip? What is called the Aparad Bhanjanar Pat, where all the offenders were forgiven their offenses. And there, modestly, humbly, he established Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat, and those who would come for his connection. We're very fortunate that Srila Guru Maharaj would give them the grace, we could say, of Nityananda Prabhu. So in that place, in Ekachakra, Nityananda Prabhu lived there for 12 years, his childhood pastimes. And one of his favorite things was to organize Leela play with the other boys in the village. So he liked to do Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, other pastimes. And the older people, they're all told by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, he prevented them from understanding totally who he is. So they think he's this wonderful boy that they all love. And sometimes they're saying, how does he know so much about Krishna Leela? He's Balaram, of Krishna and Balaram fame. He's Balaram. He knows everything about Krishna Leela, but they're surprised. When he organizes the other children, the pastimes are so realistic. Sometimes he, from leaves, he creates a kalia, and they have the kalia pastime, and many things. But what's given particular note there, one thing is that how much love and affection everyone in the village had for Nityananda Prabhu, saying the mothers, fathers loved him more than their own children. And we know how much a parent loves their own child, but they had even more love and affection for him. And didn't, if they were holding him on their lap, they didn't want him to ever go. The boys who were playing with him, night would come, but no one wants to go home, right? So once he's thinking of the pastimes of the Ramayana, and there, of course, he plays the part of Lakshman. And this is peculiar, of peculiar note and interest, that normally Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna, right? Like Ramanuja, name means Krishna, who is the younger brother of Rama. So he's generally in that elder position, which means that his friendship, there's a little element of vatsalya rasa, which means concern, care, protection of someone who's younger. But in Ram Leela, their positions are reversed. Lakshman is the younger brother and Ramachandra is the elder. So when Ramachandra's banished, Lakshman wants to protest that and prevent that from happening, but Ramachandra gives the order to abide by his wish, and he has to follow that. So Guru Maharaj said, as if, like they discuss, as they do, different pastimes. We hear in Chaitanya Bhagavat, sometimes they gesture to one another. No one can understand the hand gestures of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. They talk in a secret language, many things. So once having a private conversation, Nityananda Prabhu is saying, those are not my favorite pastimes, because my heart flow is restricted to a certain level. I like when I'm the elder brother and then I can care for you and fully serve you. Because mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamritam, says, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arsa Britya. In the Nityananda Mahima chapter, he's saying, Ekala Ishwara Krishna, Krishna alone is the supreme, you know, controller, Swayam Bhagavan, Arsa Britya, means everyone else is in the mood of a servant. And interestingly enough, that includes Balaram. So Krishna's first expansion outward, his other self, Baladev, even though he's fully, he's practically Krishna, sometimes they say, what's the difference? Color. Krishna's Shyamasundar, blackish, Baladev, showing a white complexion. Some very minor differences, in one sense, on a tattva level. But Baladev, he wants to serve Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna fully. One of his names is Ananta. So Ananta means unlimited. So when he wants to serve Krishna, he has an unlimited desire to serve Krishna, as well as an unlimited capacity to serve Krishna. So he serves in extraordinary ways that we might not think of immediately, such as like the wherever Krishna's sitting, the throne. He becomes the throne. What about Krishna's clothes? They can't be ordinary clothes. They're also made out of spiritual substance. They're chinmoy. Right? So Baladev is the garments of Krishna, the sacred thread of Krishna, the umbrella of Krishna, the ground. In his service, he becomes everything imaginable to serve him. So therefore, Ananta, unlimited. And they say, Shesh, Ananta Shesh. Shesh means many things. One thing it means is the end. It means he understands that the end of all things is service to Krishna. So Ananta Shesh. And one of his forms, one of his bed forms is as the divine serpent. Ananta Shesh with his thousands of heads. And we're told since the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, that Ananta Shesh is singing the glories of Krishna, of Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he has not exhausted his pastimes. Is there any problem with that? It won't burn, right? It's not hot? Okay. So when they're playing this particular day, they're playing Ram Leela. And Lakshman, at one point, who is he fighting? Indrajit, I believe. So the weapon they're using is a lotus flower. Some one boy like shoots a lotus flower, and the lotus flower hits Nityananda Prabhu. But he's in the mood of Lakshman. So he falls to the ground unconscious, as if dead. So all the boys start crying because it's so realistic. Then they call Hadai Pandit, his father, his mother, they come and everybody's crying. They don't know what to do, they can't revive him. He's in this, it's really a bhav, an ecstasy. So he's in this divine ecstasy of being Lakshman in the Ramayana, and no one can bring him back to life. And they've completely lost their minds at the thought of being separated from him. But then they remember, one by one, some of the boys say, oh, he told us, if this happens, there's a way that we can revive him. What was that? That we have to play out the pastimes of the Ramayana. So that means one boy will have to be Hanuman. He'll have to go and to the Gandhamandana mountain, and there's a particular herb there, and bring that back and revive him. But to do that, that boy will have to encounter opposition along the way to fight them. So they start playing the pastimes while his mother and father, they're watching, hopefully, and the boys are playing, and the Hanuman boy is defeating the enemies. Finally, he goes to the Gandhamandana mountain. And we know Hanuman in the original, he knows this herb is located on this mountaintop. But where it is exactly, he doesn't know. So he's Hanuman, a super servitor. He cuts the whole top of the mountain. And we've seen many, they show Hanuman. He's flying. He's bringing the entire mountain. You're like, I figure I've got it covered. You know, it's in there somewhere. I don't know exactly. So we should remember that. If you can't bring part of it, take the whole mountain. So he returns with that, and they take the imaginary medicine and put it before Nityananda playing Lakshman. Then gradually he's revived, and everyone is happy. But as great as their happiness was, some sannyasi came visiting their house, and their custom in the Vedic culture in entertaining or hosting the sannyasis, they'll always say, "Is there anything else that you would like?" You know, they're giving some prasadam, some place to stay. And that sannyasi told them, "I need an assistant, and your son would be a good assistant." This is a culture that we can't properly understand or estimate. And it's also a divine pastime. So Nityananda Prabhu's father has to give Nityananda Prabhu, by divine arrangement, to this visiting sannyasi. And he takes Nityananda with him. We're told, Hadai Ojha, his father, became like a stone in separation from Nityananda Prabhu. In Eka Chakra, they say, his tears filled the nearby pukur, pond. That much crying came from the broken heart and separation of Nityananda Prabhu's father. And they say for 3 months, he was like a statue, unmoving. He was so devastated by that separation. But part of the backstory is that Nityananda Prabhu, in Eka Chakra, when he realized that Mahaprabhu was born, Nimai Pandit had appeared, he was waiting for him, until he started roaring loudly, like a lion-like roar that was so thunderous, like the local people fell to the ground. They thought it was an earthquake, the sky was falling. They didn't know what has happened. But it was his, like we see sometimes when someone is so relieved at gaining something very valuable, like a victory of some kind, they let out, you know, they make an intense display of feelings. So he was so happy to hear that Mahaprabhu had appeared, but still knew it was not time for them to rendezvous, for their pastimes to intersect. So when he went with that sannyasi, he ended up touring India, all these holy places, going to the south of India, this place, that place. And many years went by. And some 20 years, actually. But toward the end, when he was in Vrindavan, he found the house of Nanda Maharaj, where he and Krishna had their childhood pastimes. It told he fell to the ground in ecstasy, crying and exhibiting ecstatic symptoms in remembrance of all of their pastimes there. Even though externally those places were not, excavated or totally visible. Mahaprabhu later gave those instructions to Rupa and Sanatan, the Goswamis. But also, he went to many temples. And by his description, he said he would go to a temple and see it was all covered, as if there's no deity there, no Krishna. And he would inquire, "Where is Krishna?" And the people would say, "Krishna, he is in Navadvip now. He's not on the altar here anymore. He went to Navadvip. He's appeared there." So that gave him some indication that it was time to rendezvous with Mahaprabhu. And around that time, Mahaprabhu is also having visions, dreams of Nityananda Prabhu, of Balaram, riding on this chariot furiously going towards Navadvip. So he told his devotee to go searching Navadvip for this extraordinary personality. And no one could find him. they searched everywhere. They talked to many people. No one had news where he is. Then Mahaprabhu told one day, come with me. And he took them to the house of Nandanacharya, where Guru Maharaj later told Goswami Maharaj, the Prakrita Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, to establish a mat. So that's the house, that's the of Nanda Bhavan of Nandanacharya. And Mahaprabhu brought all the devotees there, and then he and Nityananda Prabhu meet for the first time. And Nityananda Prabhu, he cannot believe the beauty of Mahaprabhu, how much Krishna, who's now Radha Baba Dyuti Subalita, Nomi Krishna Surupam, he's enriched with the heart and halo of Radharani. As someone asked Guru Maharaj once, if Krishna, he's described in Brahma Sangita, as one of the things, Achintya Guna Swarupam, Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam, inconceivably beautiful. How much beautiful? Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobam. If 10 million cupids with their charm, seductive charm, beauty, personified as one, that would be an indication of his beauty. And I said, so then what about the beauty of Mahaprabhu? And Guru Maharaj said in this way, if Rupa Goswami, in this particular analysis, says of his innumerable qualities, Krishna has 64 that are prominent, and that Radharani, amongst her innumerable qualities, has 25 that are prominent, he said, then what would be the outcome of the combination of the 64 qualities of Krishna and the 25 qualities of Radharani? So as inconceivably beautiful as Krishna is, Mahaprabhu is more so. So Guru Maharaj writes in Premadama Deva Stotram, Koti Kami Murchitangri Rupa Rasa Rangaram, Svarna Koti Darpanaba Deho Varna Gauravam. His body is like 10 million brilliant mirrors made out of gold. If we made mirrors out of gold, 10 million of them, that type of shining. Rupa Goswami says in the Chaitanyastakam, Raso Dama Kamar Buddha Madura Damojula Tanur Jatinam Utangshas Tarani Karabidyoti Basana Hiranyanam Lakshmi Varan Abhivavan Angika Rucha Sat Chaitanya Kime Punar Apidushur Yasati Padam. That Raso Dama Kamar Buddha. Back to these, if 10 million cupids in full blown, how do you say, cupidity, and their fully radiant cupid like stage, cupid to the extreme, I think 10 million of them, that's raso dham of rasa, rasic expression, raso dhamma, kamar, buddha, madura, that's sweetness. Madhur Ujvala, radiantly beautiful with that time of seductive beauty and charm. This is a hint at the beauty and sweetness of Mahaprabhu, and earlier what Guru Maharaj said in the sloka, 10 million cupids would faint to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu. So when Nityananda Prabhu sees the beauty of Mahaprabhu, he's dancing wildly. He said sometimes like galloping like a horse. Sometimes he just stops and starts laughing in divine ecstasy, hysterically. Then at another time he's falling on the floor crying. Another time his body's shivering, shaking, hairs are standing on end. He's running around like a man. Devotees are trying to catch him. They can't catch him. Mahaprabhu is trying to catch him. Then he'll stop, start laughing again. He can't believe it. And then finally, Mahaprabhu catches him and pulls him on his lap. And Gadadhar Pandit is thinking, oh, look, Anantashesh has been caught, who's normally the bed, Anantashesh, Sheshai is the bed, saying, oh, he's been caught, and now Nimai Pandit, he's the belt, and Anantashesh is resting on him. He thought, it said, his heart was smiling to see this. And then Nityananda, finally, he's astonished to see Mahaprabhu, and he's saying, is this that Krishna? We played in the yard of Nanda Maharaj, that Krishna who dances with the Braja Gopis, that is this really that Krishna? So Mahaprabhu told Srivas Thakur, sing something appropriate. And Srivas Thakur started singing, Barha pidam natabara bapu karnio karni karnam vibrat basa kanaka kapisam bai jayantim chamalam randran venur adhaya sudhaya purayan gopa vrinde vrindaranyam swapara ramanam pravishad gita kirti. It's a description of Krishna and Balaram surrounded by the cowherd boys entering the Vrindavan forest in the morning, but it's from the angle of vision of the Braja Gopis. If we say, well, who's seeing this? Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys are who is being seen. So who is seeing this? We can understand it's Radharani and her group from her veranda. They're seeing this and saying, oh, Krishna with his peacock feather, how beautiful he looks, his curling hair, the Vaijayanti forest garland. And he looks like Natabara means in modern time, it means like a movie star, right? How those movie stars, their gesture is just perfect. They always smile perfectly. They move perfectly. They're dressed perfectly. Krishna is the ultimate movie star. Natabara, Karnikarna, Vibrat Basa, Kanaka Kapisam, Vaijantim. Randran Vena, Venu, Adhara Sudhaya Purayan. Saying the, and he's sounding the flute, but we're saying, there's an endless stream of nectar coming from the mouth of Krishna that's entering the flute and then showering out of the flute in the form of sound nectar. So the liquid nectar of Krishna enters the flute and then comes out as a shower of sound nectar, and everyone is regulated by that. As Srila Gurudev said, it tells Radharani and the Braja Gopis their necessity, Nanda and Yashoda theirs, the cowherd boys there. Everyone is regulated by the flute sound of Krishna. And then it says, Vrindaranyam swapara ramanam pravishad gita kirti. Singing, dancing, and their feet are dancing upon the earth. She's shivering in conjugal ecstasy in response. And when Nityananda hears that, it brings about such an intense remembrance of Vrindavan that he loses consciousness and faints. He's already in the lap of Nimai Pandit at that point. So, and there we're told that here, usually the servitor defeats the Lord. But here, the Lord, it's a rare instance where Krishna is defeating his devotee. But who is that devotee? It's none less than Baladeva Balaram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Prabhu. And Srila Saraswati Thakur makes a point about what he calls the Sevya Vigraha and the Sevak Vigraha. Saint Krishna is the object of service, like we tell Ashraya Vigraha. And but the Ashraya Vigraha or the Sevak Vigraha is personified as Baladev. So if you don't worship the Ashraya or the Sevak Vigraha, you're not really worshiping the Seva Vigraha. You have no real capacity to do that. So that Baladev covers all the rasas up to Vatsalya and Madhura. Guru Maharaj just put it in a phrase by saying, who serves who serves Krishna best is who serves Radharani best. Who serves Radharani best serves Krishna best. Same principle here. Without nitai, heno nitai vine bai radha krishna payite nai. Without focusing on the service of the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, Radha Krishna, Nitya Leela, their pastimes, their seva, is fictitious. It's insubstantial. Nitai koruna habe braje Radha Krishna pabe. And in many places, especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu is saying, if someone doesn't have love and affection for Nityananda Prabhu, they cannot be my real devotee. And if someone has even a remote tinge of envy for him, they'll never get my connection. And who is it? Someone came and was going to give dandavats to Mahaprabhu first, and he stopped and said, no, you first give your dandavats to Nityananda Prabhu, and then me. And one day, Mahaprabhu really, he wanted to worship Nityananda Prabhu, find some excuse to worship him. Devotees are always wondering about him a little bit. He's told, the avadut. Avadut means no rules, no regulations, no social. You can't figure him out. Some of you are smiling. And understand, if Gurudev gives some name to someone, it's not an accident. And Gurudev told me once too, he said, previously, one man who had great love for Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said, you know, if your name wasn't Govinda Maharaj, it could have been Avadhut Maharaj. And he was very happy about that. He said, oh, like, he liked that very, it was meant as a very high compliment. He said, if it wasn't Govinda Maharaj, you could have been Avadhut Maharaj. Really, he told me that once. How is he an avadut? Sometimes he'll come to the house of Srivas Thakur. They open the door, he's naked. But he comes, and he's in the mood of a child. And Srivas Thakur's wife is Malini. And suddenly her breasts will fill with milk, and Nityananda Prabhu, who's like, he's what, 7'6", means he's over 2 meters. He sits on her lap and starts sucking her breast milk. And all the devotees are just, Hare Krishna, Jai Nitai, Dial Nitai. And what Mahaprabhu is thinking, oh, maybe some people, that's those with love and affection, maybe there's some who think, well, that's bizarre, or don't have so much faith. So once he took his copians, his underwear, and gave pieces of his underwear to everyone. He said, if you put this on your head or wear as an amulet, you'll get sense control. You will. So they realize dealing with him, Mahaprabhu, he said, oh, I want you to engage in Vyas Puja. That's coming up. So it would be nice if you'll do the Vyas Puja. Mahaprabhu was thinking, this is a way that we'll be able to worship Nityananda Prabhu. Really, they're meant to worship Vyasadeva, but he'll be the agent for worshiping Vyas. So Srivas Thakur and the other, they make the arrangements. And interestingly, it just sounds so much like the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. Srivas Thakur says, I'll have to get one book. You know, like, we basically know how to do this, but we also need one book to refer to. So they get all the garlands, the paraphernalia together. And so Srivas Thakur saying, and now the archak, or you will take the garlands and worship Vyasadeva. He's giving instruction to Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda's like, He like takes the garland and he starts muttering some things. Some things that no one can understand, they're inexplicable. And he's frozen. And Srivastava says, you know, your Nityananda, he's hesitating to worship Vyasadeva. And like, this is the time. The auspicious time has come. You worship Vyas. And Mahaprabhu comes forward and says, you know, dear Nitai, now is the time. You must give the garland to Vyas. Takes the garland, puts on Mahaprabhu. And they're worshiping Mahaprabhu. Guru Maharaj sometimes told us, he said, to not know the glories of Nityananda Prabhu is, he said, like not knowing who your mother is. That level. So, and he said, Vidya kule ki koribe tar. Guru Maharaj said, in this line of the Narottam song, it is an allusion to those who do not properly recognize Nityananda Prabhu, like the three non-bona fide sons of Advaita Acharya, because that means Vidyakul here, that they think they know so much scripture, or my family line is so great. They thought Nityananda is not necessary, we're worshippers of Advaita, things like that. So it's mentioned there by Narottam Thakur, also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is his hardcore associate and follower. He will say, because really Chaitanya Bhagavat is the where you find extensive descriptions of the glories of Nityananda Prabhu. Sometimes he'll say, after all this entreaty, I'm telling you, imploring you to fall at the lotus feet of Gaura Nityananda. They'll save you, they'll rescue you, accept their mercy. Said after all this pleading, all this entreaty, if you don't take this mercy, he said, then I want to kick your face in with my left foot. And so some people go, how can he say that? That's not humble. That's not humility. Kaviraj Goswami says, Jagai Madhai Hoite Murse Papishta, Purishera Kita Hoite Murse Lagista. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. If you hear my name, you lose all your pious credits. If you vibrate my name, you go to hell. That's the humility of a Vaishnava. And here Vrindavan Das is saying, if you don't accept the lotus feet of Nityananda, Gaura Nityananda, then I'm going to kick to your face. My left foot. That's even more insulting. What did we? And how will we respond? And Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur said, oh, in this way, he has opened a new channel for the Lord's mercy. I'm saying, how? And he said, like sometimes a child, their parents, you know, they have the little children with them. And especially in the West, we've seen this too. Sometimes they're like introducing or having a comment, and then the little kid says something really offensive or tries to kick somebody. And then the parents, they have to compensate for the misbehavior of the child and give themselves to that person. He said, so here, if Nityananda Prabhu, this is sort of the end of the line as far as divine mercy comes, unless you take, you know, factor in Birachandra Prabhu, his son. So if you're not going to take the mercy from them, how are you going to get it? So by Vrindavan Das giving a kick, then Gaura and Nityananda have to come and offer themselves to that person as compensation. So Saraswati Thakur said, in this way, he's opened up a new channel.
Okay.
And we know so much love and affection Srila Gurudev had for Nityananda Prabhu. We can talk about this, we can repeat things we've read, but I think when I think of interacting with His Divine Grace, when He would talk a bit about Nityananda Prabhu, there was so much like love and affection in His words and His feelings, His emotions. He would happily think about what Nityananda Prabhu would eat for breakfast. And once when we were at the mat and some prasadam was being served, and he asked one devotee, like, oh, how do you like this particular preparation? And they sort of naively said, oh, I don't like that one so much. I like some of the other ones better. And Gurudev, he was so hurt. He said, that was the favorite preparation of Hadai Pandit Nityananda Prabhu's father. Like, his heart was pained by that kind of thing. And in his final days, a few years back, when being discussed whether he would go for the opening of Eka Chakra or one festival, they were making arrangement to take him by helicopter. He showed this picture of Nityananda Prabhu from, again, what is it called? Nitai Bari, or his, yeah, his house there in Eka Chakra, with the deity of Nityananda was there. And at first, from a distance, I thought, oh, is it Mahaprabhu? Like, it looked a little like Mahaprabhu Bari. But he said, this is Nityananda Prabhu. And he said, you will not see a more beautiful Nityananda Prabhu than here. And then, as if my reaction wasn't great enough, he said, Maharaj, I'm telling you, you will not see a more beautiful Nityananda than you will see here. And he said, and you will go there. And as Keshava Maharaj and others said, he is what they call Satyavak. What he says will come true. So in fact, we got to go there last year and see the beauty of the deity and there. But our mixed feelings were that when we came to the Chaitanya Saraswat Math, as inaugurated by Srila Bhakti Nirmala Charja Maharaj, and we saw Gaur and Nityananda, that darshan, because Acharya Maharaj took us there the evening before to the Maharajas to see like if everything's all right. And we were shocked at the beauty of Gaur and Nitai and Eka Chakra. And we're also thinking, as Guru Maharaj sometimes told us, when some wonderful Harikatha was going on, he would say, oh, at this moment, perhaps our Guru Maharaj and your Guru Maharaj, they're looking down upon this divine transaction and showering with some mercy and blessings. So we thought, when we saw the beauty, and I think those who were there, some here, you were there, but many, everyone was shocked to see how beautiful these deities were and the beauty of their outfits and ornaments. They were wearing turbans, and they're also, as per Gurudev's order, 7'6", that size. So we all felt, I think, that Srila Gurudev, Srila Guru Maharaj, the Guru Varga, they were looking down and very happy at this, I think, the local place here. Grace extended. That is our theme. Grace extended. I like that very much. That's the concept. Bishtar. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, Gaur and Nityananda started a business and Swami Maharaj took it to America. Because because he's always like the representative of Bengal. So he said, they started the business, he took it to America. And the rest is history. So that's the family business of the Achyuta Gotra, is grace extended. And there's no more merciful, gracious extension than the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala. 10 million moons. Like sometimes it's very hot, like in Thailand and India as well. Like the moon will come and you can feel some kind of coolness coming from it. It's cooling, soothing to the soul, the body, mind, soul. But we're talking, how soothing are the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu? Koti Chandra, Sushitala, as if 10 million moons. What kind of coolness would we feel from that? And relief. So we're very fortunate to be able to remember him and his divine pastimes at this time. If we want to get a connection with Gauranga, Mahaprabhu, he told Nityananda Prabhu, go to Bengal to preach. Why? Because as indicated by Swami Maharaj and Guru Maharaj, he said, the Bengalis are a hard nut to crack. So they needed the maximum strength dose, which means Nityananda Prabhu, he's given that assignment. But Mahaprabhu says, go tell them about Krishna. Krishna Nam, Krishna, everything Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And what does Nityananda Prabhu say? Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Nam. Worship Gauranga, talk about Gauranga, take the name of Gauranga. What are we told was Shivananda Sen's personal mantra to his Ishtadevata, you know, four syllable mantra, Gauranga. Who is it that told them, one of the great devotees, that he was wondering if, do you recall who it was? Was it like Nisringananda Brahmachari, one of them? And Shivananda said, I'm wondering, does Mahaprabhu really, I'll just hide in the corner and if he knows what my actual mantra is, and they send out and they go, you know, he wants to speak to you. Shivananda Sen, is there a Shivananda Sen here? You know, like, yeah, you know. They bring him in and he says, Gauranga. You don't need to fear, you don't need to hide anymore. He realizes he's substantial. So anyway, why? Because why is Nityananda Prabhu apparently violating Mahaprabhu's order? Because he knows really what's been expressed perfectly by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Yata yata gora padara vinde vinde ta bhaktin krita punirasi. Tatat tot sarpati hridya kazmat radha padamboja sudamburasi. That if we want a substantial connection with Krishna, with Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna Nitya Lila, and that divine abode, those who are sukritivan, as in, you know, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshitam Yagye Sankirtana Praye Yajanti Hi Sumedasa, refined theistic intellect, they'll realize that the entrance to Vrindavan is through Navadvip, the entrance into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are at the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu knows, if I bring them in connection with Gauranga, then automatically they get a substantial connection with Radha Govinda. Hare Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu Avirbhav Mahamahotsava Titi Ki Jaya. Manasa, can you sing like Nitai Pada Kamala? It's already been sung, but sing it one more time. All right, now is our evening. Moon, the moon. Edition, the moonshine edition, the Koti Chandra Sushitala. Mm-hmm. And one last thing, Gurudev saying, Guru Maharaj got the mystic transmission of the Rupa Nuga line from Saraswati Thakur. Gurudev said, everyone knows Guru Maharaj is Rupa Goswami's man. So why is he always taking the name of Nityananda? Dial Nitai, Dial Nitai, Dial Nitai. As Guru Maharaj said, Krishna consciousness is so high, so inconceivably wonderful and high, sometimes in discussing it, maybe we didn't express something properly, maybe we committed some offense. So if I take the name of Nityananda and return to the foundation, then my position, I'll be reinstated in my rightful position, the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. He said, so I'm always praying for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu to readjust myself, reposition myself. You know, if we're repositioned at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, how fortunate we are. Thank you.